This topic is called the urgency of mental prayer, according to the doctors of the church. And it truly is the most urgent topic. So I'm so thankful that you're here. If you're here, it's God's will that you're here. From St. Teresa of Avila, the devil knows that he has lost the soul that perseveringly practices mental prayer. The greatest achievement of the devil in modern times is to take away mental prayer from the life of the Christian. I feel like I've discovered food. I feel like I've discovered how to breathe. We've been severely, severely lacking in the most important aspect of our lives. I have a degree in philosophy. I have a degree in theology. I never once heard of mental prayer ever, ever in my time studying at university. I didn't know what mental prayer was up until 1 month ago. I was going through a spiritual crisis. So my spiritual desire, my highest ideal, me personally, is to be in union with the Virgin Mary, to always have Mary present with me. The saints say that is the sweetest thing. You might say, what about God? When Mary's present, God is present in the sweetest way possible. So I want to always have Mary with me. But about a couple months ago, the Virgin Mary took away her presence from me, and I felt very desolate. And I would talk to the saints and say, where's Mary? Because they would talk to me. And they say, she's with you. If she wasn't with you, we wouldn't be talking to you. And again, this isn't like I'm having visions in my bedroom. This is like an interior conversation going on. So don't say, Gabriel's a mystic. Saint Therese is talking to him. No, I wish, man. I wish. I was going through a great crisis. I would talk to Jesus. Jesus, where's Mary? He's like, you have to love my mother more. I was like, how, what else do you freaking want me to do, man? You know, I carry her picture around. What else do you want me to do? There's something wrong with me. And my closest friends would know that I argue and fight about prayer. I say, when the New Testament writers are writing about prayer and are writing about the life of the Holy Spirit in them, I don't feel like it's the same thing that I'm doing. When St. Paul prays and he's like having visions and they're talking about test the spirits and then they're getting together and praying and there's prophecies and there's two prophets praying, I'm like, I can't relate to that. It's like, let me just skip over Acts of the Apostles. Let me skip over the writing. So I knew that there was something missing. And I was in a very dark place and I could feel a heaviness and a weight on my shoulders. This is about last month. And a friend of mine who's a seminarian, one of my best friends, if you don't have a spiritual friend that really loves God above all else, that is truly the greatest blessing that you can have. He said, let's have breakfast, because he's a seminarian. He went to something called IPF, the Institute for Priestly Formation. And he was on a long silent retreat. He's like, I got to talk to you about what happened to me while I was at IPF. And I said, great, let's hear it. But as I'm walking into the breakfast shop, the Holy Spirit came upon me and I felt the presence of God saying, listen to him. Listen to him very, very carefully. This is what you've been praying for. And so he starts talking and he says, you will not believe what happened to me. So we started doing this thing called mental prayer. Remember, I don't know what mental prayer is, so I'm just kind of like, okay, whatever. It's like imagination games or something. And I just let it go. But the word stood with me. And he's like, and so I was doing my mental prayer. And it was like me and Jesus were best friends. And we spent time together and we like walked together. And like I always knew Jesus was my friend, but this was different. And the way he was talking was as if this event really happened. So he was talking to me as if he was Jesus's best friend, that something happened to him, that he was really with Jesus. And in his mind, he was communicating this to me as if he was really walking around with Jesus. He was retelling me a memory of something that was very real to him. Like I could tell he was even underwhelmed by my response to him. Because I was like, that's it? Like you wanted to share this amazing thing? You and Jesus are friends? Like, I was trying to be enthusiastic about it, but I was kind of like let down because the Lord was telling me, this is the answer. I'm like, okay, doesn't look like it. Fast forward a couple days, I go home. I start researching mental prayer. I look up different books. The books I found, this fat. I said, no, thank you. If God demands it of me, I should not need a PhD to understand it. It's too much, too hard. So then, thanks be to God, I found a booklet that was only 40 pages. So I got it. And I looked at the cover from St. Teresa of Avila. The devil knows that he has lost the soul that perseveringly practices mental prayer. And then I began to look up other quotes from saints. And it turns out, as I said earlier, we have been malnourished. And you can't really place the blame on anybody. You could say, well, the people with theology degrees, they should be too. I got it. I didn't learn it. I didn't know. And I've been teaching online for a long time. I can't give what I don't have. So I'm sharing with you my story so that you realize this is something I discovered on accident. If you've ever been to the Holy Land, they show you the Dead Sea Scrolls, very cool ancient artifact. The Dead Sea Scrolls were discovered by a kid who was throwing rocks at the mountain, and the rock happened to go into a hole, and he heard jars shatter. So I accidentally discovered this. Some of you may say, you dummy, I've been knowing about mental prayer my whole life. Well, good for you. Why didn't you tell me about it? Seriously. So this topic is called the urgency of mental prayer, and it truly is the most urgent topic. So I'm so thankful that you're here. If you're here, it's God's will that you're here. It's God's will that you're here. The urgency of mental prayer, according to the doctors of the church, this is very important. If you don't know who the doctors of the church are, they are the highest ranking saints, the highest authority in the church when it comes to specific topics. Different doctors of the church are doctors of different things. The doctor of prayer, that means the one that the church says, when you have a question about prayer, you can go to this person as a sure guide. If there's a doubt, if there's two teachers of theology, two teachers of prayer, and they're arguing, whatever one sides with the doctor of prayer, listen to that one. The doctor of prayer, St. Teresa of Avila. Then there's the doctor universalis, the doctor of the universal church, the doctor pretty much who's good about everything Catholic, St. Francis de Sales. Then there's the doctor of mysticism. You want encounters with God or want to know about encounters with God? You want to know what's going on in the soul? You go to St. John of the Cross, doctor of mysticism. Then there's, oh, my favorite. I love this guy. I love him. The doctor of moral theology. So the doctor concerning morality and salvation, St. Alphonsus Liguori. So whenever it comes to getting heaven, fear about salvation, etc., I listened to St. Alphonsus, argument settled. St. Alphonsus was so smart that during his lifetime, the Pope said, if Bishop Alphonsus even holds it as an opinion, go ahead and assume that he's right and try to figure out why later. St. Alphonsus, doctor of moral theology. So I'm going to beat you, metaphorically. You might feel like I'm really beating you. I'm going to beat you with quotes for about 5 minutes, just so that you can grasp how urgent this is, because the last thing that can happen, I'll feel like this is a total failure, if one of two things happen. One, you leave this talk and are not convinced and convicted that mental prayer is not optional. If you're spiritually alive, it is by the grace and the mercy of God. If you feel like God's been speaking to you, that has been a grace that we did not deserve, and that's not the ordinary means. The ordinary means is prayer of mental prayer. Number two, the devil has been telling people who know about mental prayer, it's too hard, you can't do it. That's a lie. Children can do mental prayer. Five-year-olds, you don't even have to know how to read to do mental prayer. That's a lie. So you can't leave here until you, one, are convicted that mental prayer is an absolute necessity of your life. Two, you understand what it is. And three, you are resolved to pray mental prayer at least 15 minutes every single day if you want to live. Terminator 2 meme, come with me if you want to live. All right, a couple of quotes from the doctors of the church. St. Alphonsus, all of the saints were made saints by mental prayer. Every saint that ever lived is only a saint because of mental prayer. It is impossible for him who perseveres in mental prayer to continue in sin. St. Teresa of Avila, I love this woman. I love this woman. I didn't realize how harsh she was. I love a strong woman. Those who neglect mental prayer have no need of demons because they cast themselves into hell. You're not doing mental prayer? You need no demons. You're afraid of the scary movies? You need no scary movies. You're throwing yourself headlong into hell, according to the doctor of prayer. St. John of the Cross, the doctor of mysticism. Without the aid of mental prayer, the soul cannot triumph over the forces of the demon. So many of our loved ones are away from the church. It's not because they disagree with the teaching of the church. It's not because they are stuck in mortal sin. It is because they did not do mental prayer. If they did mental prayer, their hearts will be open to God. It is morally impossible for him who neglects mental prayer to live without sin. St. Alphonsus, doctor of moral theology, he knows about sin. St. Augustine, without mental prayer, the soul is without light. St. Bonaventure, he who does not make mental prayer does not know his defects. Mental prayer is a mirror in which we see the sins of our soul. St. Bernard, in mental prayer, souls acquire strength to conquer enemies and practice virtue. St. Alphonsus, this is very important for many of us. God rarely answers those who do not make mental prayer. Have you been praying for something for so long and you haven't gotten the prayer answered? God rarely answers those who do not make mental prayer. And you might say, well, I prayed and the answer. Rarely. That doesn't mean never. It means rarely. St. Ignatius of Loyola, mental prayer is the shortest way to attain perfection. Two more quotes. It must be stated without reservation that no other means has the unique efficacy of mental prayer, and that as a consequence, its daily practice cannot be substituted. St. Peter of Alcantara, he was a saint, I believe he was a Franciscan, who lived at the time of St. Teresa of Avila. He was known for being a great wonder worker, very holy man. His quote really captures everything in one. In mental prayer, the soul is purified from its sin. It is nourished with charity. It is confirmed in faith and strengthened in hope. The mind expands. The affections dilate. The heart is purified. Truth becomes evident. Temptation is conquered. Sadness is dispelled. The senses are renovated. Drooping powers revive. Tepidity cease. The rust of vices disappears. This is my favorite part of his quote. To mental prayer, heaven is opened. To mental prayer, heavenly secrets are manifested, and the ear of God is ever attentive. This is the secret of the saints. And what is mental prayer? It's an encounter with Jesus Christ. If you were to go through and say, in Jesus Christ, you're nourished with charity. In Jesus Christ, you're confirmed in faith. In Jesus Christ, temptation is conquered. In Jesus Christ, sadness is dispelled. In Jesus Christ, your senses are renewed. Your drooping powers revive. So what is mental prayer? You have to know what it is. It is a framework in which you encounter Christ. So mental prayer is simply a method in which you encounter Jesus Christ. Now, I'm going to teach you the method of St. Teresa of Avila, and I'm going to compare it to St. Alphonsus and St. Francis de Sales, and then we're going to go back to Teresa of Avila. Because some people will say, well, why are you going Teresa of Avila? St. Francis de Sales is also a doctor of the church. St. Alphonsus is also a doctor of the church. I'm going to show you that they're the same, but their words are different. And St. Alphonsus' words and St. Francis de Sales' words are a little confusing to me because I'm low IQ. And the reason why those two together use the same words is because Francis de Sales lived before St. Alphonsus, and St. Alphonsus said, St. Francis de Sales taught it, so I'm going to teach it. So I want you to see if there's differences, what those differences are, and how we can reconcile them. And we're going to go through this in depth, trust me. You are not going to leave here not knowing this. Number one step in St. Teresa of Avila is called recollection. You simply prepare, and you become aware that God is present using your imagination. Number two in Teresa of Avila, you select something to meditate upon. So number three in Teresa of Avila, she calls it consideration. I consider something. So you meditate upon it. Step number four with Teresa of Avila, you talk to God about it. You have conversation, heart to heart. And then number five, conclusion. So I'm going to summarize. Teresa of Avila says, call to mind the presence of God. Put yourself somewhere in the Bible and talk to Jesus there. English. God is present. I'm going to a biblical setting, and this is where I'm going to meet Jesus. How? I'm going to tell you in a moment. All right. Francis de Sales and Alphonsus Liguori. Same stuff. That's why I put in green the same things. They call theirs preparation, presence of Christ. They skip selection of material because that's basically, what am I going to think about? So they said, we're leaving this off the list. They call theirs meditation. We're going to talk about that word later because that's where the devil has entered in and got rid of mental prayer by confusing the word mental prayer and meditation. We'll talk about that later. And then Teresa uses the word conversation. I love that word. Want to have a conversation? I know what you mean. We're going to talk to each other. Alphonsus and Francis de Sales calls it affections and petitions. I don't know what that means. Basically, it means I'm going to love him. But just for our sake, it's easier if we just think about conversation. And then a conclusion, and they recommend some sort of spiritual bouquet. Now, we're going to have to take a quick pause. How do I know when God is speaking? Because you're going to hear God speak. God willing, you're going to hear him speak tonight. We're going to pray a lot in a little bit. How do I know when it's God speaking or just my imagination or maybe even the devil? St. Teresa of Avila says, number one, dead giveaway. When God speaks, he works. When God spoke, the universe came into existence. So in prayer, you're praying and God says, stop. It's going to be okay. All you need is me. It's not just here. When he says it, it works. The peace comes to your heart. The stillness comes. The confidence comes. You have the idea come into your mind, and you're saying, I have to have trust in Jesus. I have to have trust in Jesus. I have to have trust in Jesus. But there's no trust in Jesus. That's just you talking to yourself. But when the Lord says, trust in me, and all of a sudden there's, oh, I feel better. Something happened in there that was so subtle, so easy and calming that just comes over you. That was God. Whether he uses voices here or not. This is a quote from St. Teresa. She says, he will speak to you by inspirations, like sudden jolts of courage, sudden jolts to do the right thing and be strong, even when your emotions, your heart, your feelings might be saying, it's like a sudden jolt of, no, we're going to get through this. And it didn't come from you. Something stirred up inside of you. Interior lights. All of a sudden, you just kind of understand. It's almost like your brain was really foggy. A little droplet is dropped into your brain and the light spreads and all of a sudden everything makes sense to you. Manifestations of his goodness, sweet touches in your heart, tokens of forgiveness, experiences of peace, hopes of heaven, rejoicing within you, voices of love and strength. So all of these good feelings that do not happen here, they happen only here. The devil can, and not only can he does very often present to us ideas, and we're going to talk about what's going on inside of you so you can really understand how Teresa is not just a doctor of prayer, she's a scientist. She knew human psychology very well. It's not just going on in here. The devil can speak here. God does speak here, but when God speaks here, he also touches here gently and not by force. All right. How does this happen? This is important. This is where the devil got me to not believe in this. So we have exterior faculties. You're experiencing this class right now with your eyes, with your ears. You're sitting here. So you experience the world, the external world, through your external faculties. But you have a whole nother set of faculties called interior faculties. How does your brain communicate to your feet that you want to walk? You don't tell your feet, okay, feet, let's go. Maybe one day you're really drunk and you're like, okay, feet, we got to put one foot in front of the other. But usually that's not how it works. Usually when you're sober-minded, you just send an impulse to your feet interiorly. So interior faculties, we all have them. I used to think, I don't want to play no imagination games. I don't want to play no imagination games. And I would tell myself, I'm not good at that. I'm not good at imagining. Because you hear of Ignatius of Loyola, pretend like you're in the picture, imagine you're there with Jesus. I don't want to do that. For me, that was just very distasteful, personally. But that was a lie from the devil. And if you think about it, where does the devil tempt you? In your intellect, all the time. He presents to you things that happened in the past to make you all worked up. They're not real. They happen because of your internal faculties. He puts bad pictures in many people's minds. Sinful, lustful, perverse, angry, sadistic, just evil things in our imaginations. He makes us worry about things that are in the future that might not even happen. The devil's playing games in your head to get you to impact your will. The interior faculties are comprised primarily of two parts. This is very important. Your intellect, which involves your rational thinking, your imagination, and making conclusions. Your analyzing faculty. You also have a will. So you could consider this mind and heart inside. Your will is involved with making choices and loving stuff. Your will is blind. Without use of your intellect, you will only love what feels good. So for example, you want your teenagers, this is an example, you want your teenagers to love God. You want them to love Jesus. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Unless first the life of Jesus is presented to their intellect and they experience Him present, only then can you love Him. As a child, we don't want to take medicine. I don't want that medicine. We fight the medicine. But as a parent, you know, from the intellect, from reflection, if you don't take this medicine, you're going to get very sick. You've thought about it. You've imagined the consequences of your child not taking this medicine. You make them take the medicine. And sometimes you have to hold them down in the doctor's office. And the child doesn't understand. But you've reflected upon it, and the child hasn't. So we have two parts, the intellect and the will. And the imagination is a major, major part of that. And the devil will say, you can't do it. It's a lie. We're going to do it right now just so that I can prove that that's wrong. So you have to participate with me. We're not going to pray right now. I'm just going to show you that your internal faculties are a hell ton stronger than you're giving yourself credit for. Okay, so if you'll please close your eyes. I would like for you to imagine the front door of your house. You're outside of it. You're looking at the front door from the outside. You're about 2 feet from the door. Now imagine your right hand held out in front of you, closed in a fist, facing up. You open your right hand, and inside of it is your house key. You take your house key in your right hand, you put it into the doorknob, you turn the handle, you walk into the living room. You see your couch. On your couch is your underwear. You can open your eyes now. If you knew what your house key looked like and you could visualize it, if you could visualize the front door of your house, if you could visualize what your underwear looked like and they're on the couch, you can do mental prayer. St. Teresa of Avila, and this is funny thing about God, whenever somebody's going to become an expert in something, He kind of gives them a handicap. St. Teresa of Avila had no imagination. Some people, they say, I'm not very good at imagining. St. Teresa of Avila said that she was like a blind person. She couldn't see God's face. She couldn't visualize Him. She couldn't imagine Him. She was like a blind person who knew somebody was there. And you don't have to see in order to love. And you don't have to see in order to speak. And that sometimes looking at God and the visualizations, the imaginations in your head, it's a lot like laying on your back and looking up at the sky on a cloudy day. And sometimes you see the sun and then the clouds break through and it's like a bright light. And then the clouds will come and cover it over. And you just get these glimpses and they're very momentary. That's good enough. The devil will try to make us think that mental prayer is all about the imagination. It is not. It is like 20% out of the 80% of mental prayer. So a quick story, just to catch you up on where I was at in my mental prayer process. I was at St. Mary's Seminary taking photos. As Father Urell knows, I'm a very good photographer. And one of the seminarians is a good friend who I'm not going to say. He comes up to me, and this dude is cool. He's a deacon. He is so cool. But he's so cool because he doesn't care about being cool. He's got like a nice, thick, luscious beard. He wears leather jackets. He probably has tattoos under the leather jacket. He'd ride a motorcycle if Father Urell would let him. He's got chains everywhere. He's a rough guy, but like a teddy bear. And he comes up to me, he's like, Dave, I was at IPF and the craziest thing happened to me during my 30-day silent retreat. And I was like, here we go again with my other friend. What happened to you? He's like, dude, I was doing the Ignatius of Loyola and they said to imagine like you're going to serve Christ the King. So So you imagine, so I was there. I was like in a t-shirt and jeans, and I'm walking up to this magnificent palace, and there's like gold everywhere. And I walk in, and Jesus is on the throne, and he looks like a straight up G. His hair is long. He's got like, it's like Lord of the Rings, like Aragorn, whatever, right? Like with the symbols all over. And I knelt in front of him, and he said, "Will you serve me?" And I said, "Yes, Lord." And he gave me the sickest chain mail with a beautiful crucifix on it. It was bad, man. You would think this really happened. You would think this really happened. And then I was waiting to see if the queen was there. And he's like, and I was like, "And Mary?" And he's like, "Dude." And he like walked, and so he's like walked away, put his hand down. He's like, "Dude, dude, she is so beautiful. She is so beautiful. She asked me if I would serve her. I said, with my life." And she gave me a miraculous medal and she put it around my neck and she said, "I'll protect you if you wear this." And he's like, and then he looked at me, and thanks be to God, I had some taste of what he had experienced. Because when the words came out of his mouth and they were coming straight out of his heart, like if this event really happened, and then he realized how he sounded and how he was acting and like how enthusiastic he was about something that happened to him in prayer. And then I put my hand, and he looked a little concerned after. I put my hand on him. I was like, "Don't worry, dude. I've been there too. It's sweet." And so in my own mental prayer journey, I, in my process of loving the Virgin Mary more, I was meditating, doing my mental prayer on the coronation of Mary as Queen of Heaven and Earth. And Jesus, so I was visualizing her with my imagination. What does the Queen of Heaven look like? What does her throne look like? What does her hair look like? And then you kind of let go because you're like, "Lord, help me to fill it in." And Jesus, imagining, my imagination is telling me, "What does she look like?" Asking me. I say, "She's so natural." Like I thought that she'd be all like stuffy and like regal. She's like such a natural, normal, beautiful, lovely person. And then in my prayer, because what we're going to do is we're going to reflect upon these truths, and she's the Queen of Heaven and Earth, and she can control nature, and she's this and she's that. And I'm like, "Dang." And then he's like, "And do you know the most profound thing?" I was like, "What?" "She really, really loves you." I was like, "Wow." He's like, "Will you serve?" I was like, "Heck yes. Heck yes. She's so beautiful. Of course. Why not?" And then I talked to Mary, and this is resolving my interior conflict that I had. And I was like, "Mary, I give you everything. Why are you hiding from me?" And she says, "Because you don't really love me. Even just 2 minutes ago, you say you were going to serve me because I'm so beautiful. What's wrong with you? What if I wasn't beautiful? You won't love me?" Typical woman. Holiest woman ever, but she's a woman. And she said, "Everything that you say you give to me, you don't really give to me. You say you give me your family. You don't really give them to me. You want me to make it better. You say you give me your YouTube, you don't give it to me. You really care about how that goes. You care about how you look. You care about how you speak. You care about all these things. Give it to me for real." I was like, "Okay, I don't know how to do that because I thought I did that before." So I'm imagining me giving her all these things and I feel lighter. So how do I know it's not my imagination? I feel something inside my chest as I'm thinking about it. So I'm giving her my family and I feel lighter and lighter and lighter. And then in our personal relationship, I feel like, "Blessed Mother, there's something really heavy inside of me still. Like, I can't pull it out. What is that?" "It's the one thing you can't give me." "What is that?" "The one thing that makes you, you." "It's like my will?" "It's like your will. You can't give that to me. You yourself have to destroy it. And you have to break it into 1,000 little pieces." And I was like, "That's so profound. This is not my imagination. I would have never thought that." That's not every encounter in mental prayer. So you are going to be using your imaginative power. You are going to be putting things in your own head. You are. But that doesn't mean that it's not real. So you know from the Bible that how Jesus would act for the most part. You know he's not going to say, "Cheat on your taxes. It's fine." You know what I mean? Like, you know his personality. Even if you weren't praying, you know that's something that Jesus wouldn't say. So you kind of know who he is. So you can have a semi-quasi-certitude that you're doing God's will or not. Two, because you genuinely want to know. I really want to know what God's plan is. I really want to know. He really wants you to know. And so grace will begin to work in that. And three, This is where you're going to have encounters with Jesus Christ. This is where all of the saints had real living encounters with Jesus Christ. Try it. Try it and you will see. I said earlier that prayer was so dry, and sometimes it still is. I'm not going to lie. But before, it was like I would spend all this energy to hand squeeze an orange and only one drop would come out. And so I'd be very, very frustrated. And now it's like I squeeze an orange and a fire hydrant comes out. And even on days that are arid and distracted, and we'll discuss those, even on bad days, it's still better than a good day the way it was before. So how to do mental prayer? Let's get to that now. You're going to have to use your imagination. We are at an extraordinarily good time in history to be learning about mental prayer. Teresa of Avila said, I could not form an image of Christ. I would look at holy pictures and they were too ugly. I could not tell them that they are Jesus. I struggled with the same thing until I found out that I had the freedom to use a picture. I know it's a controversial statement. Some people love it, some people don't. I really resonate with the way that Jonathan Rumi plays Jesus in The Chosen. When he talks and he acts, it's easy for me to imagine, I could kind of see Jesus acting like that. And for mental prayer, that's good enough. If you don't like that version of Jesus and you like Jim Caviezel from The Passion, you can use him as an image in your mind. Because what we're going to do in a moment, not yet, we're going to imagine the face of Christ looking at us. And we're going to talk to this person in our imagination. You can talk to a person that looks like a painting that somebody drew. That might work for you. I like to see real humans. And so you can use Jim Caviezel. And so my prayer was going great. When I was talking to the Jesus from Jonathan Rumi, I could hear his voice. I could imagine his face. Oh, it was so good. My prayer was so rich. But I couldn't see the face of the Virgin Mary. Because in both shows, the Virgin Mary is an old lady. And the Virgin Mary, according to the mystics, is beautiful. And she didn't age past the age of 33, and she was this and she was that. And to me, she's just the most perfect woman. So for me, this is who I talk to. That woman on the bottom right-hand corner. You might say, I don't like her, her face is too skinny. Whatever, I'm just sharing with you what helped me. Some people might like this image of Our Lady Guadalupe. They made what Our Lady of Guadalupe would have looked like if the Tilma was a living person. Some people might like Chinese-looking Mary. It doesn't matter. Whenever Mary appears in different places across the world, in Rwanda, she appeared African. In Mexico, she appeared Aztec. In Fatima, she appeared Portuguese. Europe, she appears white with blonde hair. It doesn't matter what she looks like. Okay, so now we can start doing the real work. All right, so there's five steps in mental prayer. Your immediate preparation, the selection of the material, what we're going to meditate upon, the consideration, what you're going to think about, your conversation with Christ, and the conclusion. For the sake of common sense, no offense, St. Teresa, I love you, I'm going to get rid of the selection of the material. We're going to delete this because my brain can't remember five things. We're going to get rid of the selection of the material because Alphonsus and Francis de Sales kind of assumed that that was an obvious thing. I'm going to pick a location. We'll talk about that in a moment. I'm also going to get rid of the conclusion. So you only have to remember three things: your immediate preparation, your consideration, and your conversation. Your immediate preparation, we also call that recollection. So let's say it's time to do our mental prayer. It's morning, it's bedtime, whenever you find most suitable for prayer, it's midday. The first thing you do is you get on your knees and you say to God, God, I'm a sinner. Please have mercy on me. Holy Spirit, please help me. I can't pray. I can't do mental prayer. Please help me. I'm begging you. You're supposed to lead me to the truth. Jesus died on the cross so that you could come and help me. Time to help. I need you. Dumb and deaf here. Please help me. It doesn't have to be a formulated prayer, but you have to pray it sincerely. Second step, call upon St. Michael the Archangel to put his wings of protection around you to protect you from what? Distraction, distraction, distraction. This is where the devil is going to try and stop you because you are only praying for yourself. But the devil knows, according to Teresa of Avila, If you become as holy as God created you to be, if you, that doesn't mean you're an evangelist. That means you be you the way God wanted you to be, to pray as much as God wants you to pray. And if you do that, because of the grace that will be flowing through your life, you will save 1,000 souls. So when you go to pray, the devil says, I'm going to fight this person as if 1,000 souls are on the line, not just them. Because that's really what's happening. So you have to call upon St. Michael to keep you from distraction. You don't have to say the full St. Michael prayer. Just say, St. Michael, protect me. And then it's rude if you call upon St. Michael. Your poor guardian angel has been there your whole life. You got to just say, hey, guardian angel, help me. Hello. That's so rude. He's been praying for you. His whole life revolves around you. Come on, guys. Call upon your patron saints at confirmation. Your patron saint was so excited. Me and Marianne are going to have a really special relationship. Call upon your patron saint. And this is important. Make an act of faith in the presence of the Virgin Mary. The Virgin Mary is with you because she's your mother. In order for her to do her job well, she has to always be present to you. The Virgin Mary is with you because she's the mediatrix of all grace. Every single grace that God gives to your soul at every single moment comes to you through her mediation. That means she knows the status of your soul at every single moment of your life. She is really present to you. Say, Blessed Mother, I believe you are present. And then what do? Imagine her face. Close your eyes and imagine her face. St. Teresa of Avila says the best posture for prayer is with the eyes closed. Because when you look with the eyes, you're too drawn to your surroundings. It causes a distraction, too much stimuli. The internal senses are heightened when you close the eyes. So close your eyes, imagine the face of the Virgin Mary. Virgin Mary, I believe you're here. I consecrate this time of prayer to you. Help me to pray well. What I do, you don't have to. You can just let her disappear. I have her stand next to me or kneel next to me. Then we do the most important thing. Act of faith in the presence of God. Jesus, I believe you are really here. I believe you are in my soul. I believe that you are the head and I am the body and you and I are connected and we are one. I believe you're holding me into existence. And imagine the face of Christ right in front of you. If you want to, talk to him right then and there. St. Francis de Sales says at that moment, and Ignatius of Loyola agrees, at that moment, when you see the face of Christ, let him look at your miserable soul. Look at me. Because sometimes we go to prayer and we're like, God, here I am. It's like, no, look at me. I'm a wreck inside, dude. Like, I am barely holding it together. There's tape. It's not working out well, Lord. I need you to fix this. And that begins a personal encounter with Christ. So that's it. That is the beginning of all prayer. All prayer should have an encounter with Christ. I should do this before my rosary. I should do this before I go to Mass. I should do this at every moment. The practice of the presence of God is the best rule for a holy life. I have Christ now with me. He's here. So that's easy. Number one, recollection. The first step of prayer is recollection. Number two, consideration. What I'm going to think about. This is like wood for the fire. What's the most important thing? That there is a fire. Gather the wood. Some wood. Any wood. It does not matter. Why? Because I'm going to be in the Gospels. What is the Gospels? The inspired Word of God. The Holy Spirit will be in the Gospels. Anytime you're in the Gospels, even if you're just reading the genealogy of Jesus, the Holy Spirit's going to work even through the genealogy of Jesus. How? It's a miracle. It's a miracle. So don't stress. As long as you're in the Gospels and Jesus or Mary, God is somewhere in there, it's going to be good, okay? So you pick a subject. The Gospels, the saints say the Passion of Christ is the greatest thing you can meditate upon. Any mystery from the Rosary. Think about Our Lady of Fatima, the first Saturdays. She said, pray the Rosary and then spend 15 minutes with me meditating upon a mystery of the Rosary. What did she mean? We're going to get into that. She meant something very deep, very intimate. Or a theological truth. The real presence of Jesus in the Eucharist, the reality of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. You just think about that. And you visualize yourself. So just for our little example, let's imagine the scourging at the pillar. So St. Francis de Sales, St. Teresa of Avila says, imagine it as if it's happening right in front of you. Imagine it as if it's right in front of you. So in your mind, if you close your eyes just for a moment, you can imagine that there's a stone pillar about waist high. Jesus is handcuffed to the top of the pillar. He's laying on the ground. He's not even up by his own strength anymore. His body is covered in scabs and wounds. He's got a linen cloth around his waist. He's bleeding all over the floor. Nobody's beating him anymore. The beating has stopped. They've just left him there. You can do that. You can do that. You can imagine that. Then you analyze it. If you're like, I'm dry as a bone, man. Who? Jesus is there. Why? They beat him. Why? Because I committed mortal sin. Oh my gosh, that's my fault. Oh, now I feel guilty. And if I'm visualizing him there and I'm really hit with him there and he's looking at me, I have to tell him something. Lord, I'm sorry. I'm sorry that they beat you because of me. What can I do to make up for it? So the intellect is engaged here. The purpose of this is to engage the will, to engage my affections. So I just relate to it. What does this have to do with me? This is very important. Step three. This is why we're here, my brothers and sisters. Talk to Christ. Talk to Christ about what you want to talk about. You're doing this whole thing. Why? Because you want the conversion of your son. Jesus, please convert my son. When am I doing this? When he's laying there bloody on the floor. Say, Lord, because of your sorrowful passion, because they beat you, because you got beat for my son, please don't let your beating be in vain. Save his soul. Petition. St. Alphonsus says the petition is critically important. Graces are only given by prayer. If you do not ask, you do not receive. So you went to the pillar to have a meeting with Christ. Every meeting has to have a location. Every meeting has to have participants. You're going to talk to Christ heart to heart. I can't tell you what to say to him. If you're really at a loss, acts, words of adoration, words of contrition, words of thanksgiving, supplication, Lord, please, please help. So you think about the previous, you think about that pillar until something in you is moved. And it's kind of like it's made an impression on you. Once it's made a firm impression, just talk to him. Talk to him from the heart. Ask him for graces that you need. If you don't have any other words to say, just look at his face. But you have to really visualize it. This is happening interiorly, but things are going to change in you because of this. This is how else is he supposed to touch you through his passion? Very personally. Let him respond. I know the meditation part, we're doing that on our own. You gotta let go. Once you've established the scene, you're talking to Christ, let go. What if it goes in a weird place? Let it be. And you say, God, I need the grace to pray well. Just you have to let go. If you don't let go, God can't speak. You're in a safe place. You've prayed to St. Michael. You've prayed to the Holy Spirit. The Virgin Mary is at your side. There is no safer place. Let go. If the conversation falters, that means you went to the conversation too quickly. I'm going to give you a slide of all of this. Don't worry, my brothers and sisters. I made the best handout in the history of the Catholic Church on this topic. It's probably the only one. That's why I say that. If the conversation falters, go back to what you were thinking about. Go back to the beatings. All right. How do I imagine this? I'm going to give you some four tips from the saints. Number one, imagine the event as if you were present and it's happening right before your eyes. Like you're right up in there watching flesh get beat off of him. And you're talking to him as this is happening. I'm sorry, Lord. Help me, Lord, etc. Number two, if you can't do that because you're like, I have no idea what that pillar would have looked like. And you're just really on having a bad day. Imagine that they're beating him in your bedroom. So imagine that the scourging at the pillar is happening in your bedroom when you're kneeling down doing your prayers. That'll help to get the juices going. The very fact of making an act of the will to make the imagination work makes it work. Imagine that you are a major player in the event. We're going to do that. We're going to practice every single one of these in a moment. Have Jesus act as a guide telling you what to think about. Everybody's different. I can't tell you which one resonates more with you. You can try them all out, and I recommend that you do that. For me, I easily establish a sense of the presence of God in step one, and then I'm like with Jesus, and to me, he's like, let's go talk on the Sea of Galilee. What do you want to talk about? Why the Sea of Galilee? He's like, because you need to learn how to catch some fish. All right. All right, Jesus. And then he explains to me interiorly things. All right, so we're going to do this right now. We're going to practice it. I'm going to supply you with the meditation. And I'm going to supply you with a meditation to purposely stab you in the heart a little bit. Why? To stimulate your affections so that you can make a strong act of the will to communicate. The first person we're going to talk to is your guardian angel. So if you'll please kneel down if you can kneel. Oh, stop. I forgot something very important. Okay. Can you please, let me borrow your chair. Sorry about that. Can you sit back there just for a moment? I know some of you can't kneel. St. Alphonsus says that the best posture to pray is to kneel. But it should not become a burden. Like when you're like, but I got arthritis in my knees. It should not become a burden. St. Teresa of Avila says, find a posture that is comfortable, but not too comfortable. If I was going to have a meeting with Father David, he's my boss, even though I consider him a friend, I would not have my chair leaned back with my shoes on his desk. So this is a posture that many people recommend. You don't have to move my camera unless you really want to. So sitting with your back straight up, with your hands on your knees. It's like, if you're having a meeting and you're having a meeting with your boss or a very important person, you're not leaning back, rocking in your chair. You're kind of sitting at the edge of your seat, serious, like a king would sit. That's a good position. So I just want you to know that. So if you cannot kneel, feel free to use that position. If you can kneel, I do encourage it because it does open the pores of the heart. We are going to be doing like three different exercises. So just be aware that if you get tired at any point, feel free to take a seat. Okay? So we're going to go ahead and pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Holy Spirit, you truly do teach us how to pray. We are all unworthy children. We've all sinned mightily against you. We are sorry for that. We need your help to be good. We need the gift of mental prayer. We ask you to have mercy on us and lead us to the fullness of the truth. Holy Spirit, come upon us. St. Michael the Archangel, the devil does not want us to pray well. We ask that you wrap your wings of protection around us so that we can hear the voice of God clearly without any distractions. St. Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and the snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the Heavenly Host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits that prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Now I want you to try to visualize your guardian angel, because your guardian angel is 100% in the room. What does your guardian angel look like? Let's just say that he looks like a person made out of light with wings, and that he looks surprisingly like you. The New Testament, St. Peter escapes from prison. He goes to a house of a person named Rhoda. They don't even think it's St. Peter. They think it's his angel. So for our meditation, let us imagine that our angel looks like us. We're still praying, though. We're still doing step one. My guardian angel, I love you. Thank you for being here with me today and every day of my life. Help me to make this a fruitful meditation and time of mental prayer. Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here, ever this day be at my side, to light and to guard, to rule and to guide. Blessed Mother, we believe that you are really here present. Imagine the face of the Virgin Mary, if you can. Take a moment to do that. My Queen and my Mother, we definitely need your intercession. Please pray for us. We do not know what we're doing, and we need your guidance. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Imagine the Virgin Mary has her arm around yours, and together you're looking in the same direction, and it's completely black, and the face of Jesus emerges. Lord Jesus Christ, we believe that you are really here present in this room. In your omnipotence, you hold all of us into existence. We are temples of the Holy Spirit. You live in our souls. We are members of your body. We give our lives to you. We are sorry for all the sins we've committed against you. Help us to hear your voice. Help us to receive light. And help us to have a greater appreciation for our guardian angel. So now we'll do a meditation with Christ. Keep him just off to the left. We're going to reflect briefly. Angels were created. Imagine just a great white light appearing. And your angel was given an assignment. At some point, hundreds of thousands of years in the future, you will be the guardian of a very special individual. And imagine your guardian angel present in the hospital room where you were born. Your guardian angel couldn't wait to see your face. He'd been waiting for hundreds of thousands of years for you to be born. Imagine at your baptism, you're being held over the baptismal font. Father pours water over your little baby face. I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Imagine the way your angel rejoices at the sight of your soul. Imagine the joy that your angel had at your first Holy Communion when you became one with God, the joy in his heart to see your heart so beautiful. But also now imagine all the times you failed your guardian angel, the times where you were tempted to commit mortal sin, and he sat by, not saying anything, waiting for you to call upon him. The times that you did sin and you did not call upon him. The times where you were crying and alone and felt abandoned by the entire world. And the one person created by God to give themselves totally to you, you ignored them. Now imagine the face of your angel looking at you and speak to them from your heart. I'm going to give you 30 more seconds, and then I'd like for you to ask your angel for something that he would like you to do. My guardian angel, what is it that I can do different? How can I make our relationship better? If there's anything that you want from your guardian angel, ask them. Get that off your chest. I've been interrupting you, but that's okay. You're going to learn that when you do mental prayer, interruptions are okay. When you have a meeting with a loved one, sometimes people interrupt and you just go back to it. Now, when we conclude mental prayer, we're going to say a guardian angel prayer, but this is the key to the spiritual life. Your guardian angel is really present. You don't have to stop talking to them just because our prayer has stopped. They can go with you everywhere. Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here, ever this day be at my side, to light and to guard, to rule and to guide. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You can remain kneeling, or you can take a quick seat. My dear, you may have your chair back. Sorry that I took it from you. We're going to do two more meditations, so stay in a prayerful mentality. We're going to do a different one now. I'm going to stir up in you feelings that you're not going to like, because I want you to have a meeting with Mary that you really mean. So when I say things that I'm going to say, I'm not saying them to be mean or cruel or ugly or to like present you with a truth that's purposely ugly. I'm only doing this because we have problems in our heart, and it's best whenever we're in prayer that we have that hard conversation with Jesus and Mary. So before we do our mental prayer, I want to stir up in you concern for the souls of those in your families or friends who objectively are not going to heaven. Think of that loved one who is not in love with Christ and hasn't given their life to them. Because even those who give their life to them, sometimes we don't know what's going to happen to us. Just stir up fear for them. I don't want you to like have to think about hell or something that bad, but it is a possible reality. So just to stir up that anxiety, because I just would like to replicate where you might be on a regular day of your life. And then we can do our mental prayer. So think of somebody that you really, really need to be praying and sacrificing for. Holy Spirit, put somebody in our heart, put a heaviness on our heart over a soul that we really, truly need to make active steps of sacrifice for, prayer for. Okay, we're going to begin another mental prayer now. How long should your introduction, your preparation, your recollection take? As long as necessary. So you don't have to always do very long prayers as long as you do the steps. And just again, I will guide you, but I'm just making this up. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Holy Spirit, please help us. We're just learning the beginnings of mental prayer. We have some idea of what it is. We ask you to please help us in this next act of prayer. And come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, thy well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, thy well-beloved spouse. Come, Holy Spirit, come by means of the powerful intercession of the Immaculate Heart of Mary, thy well-beloved spouse. As I say the various saints and angels, try to visualize them present with you, because they really are. Saint Michael, wrap your wings of protection around us, protect our minds, protect us from any distractions, from any doubts, from any desolation. Saint Michael, the archangel, defend us in battle, be our protection against the wickedness and the snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits that prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. My guardian angel, I love you. Please help me to pray well. Angel of God, my guardian dear, to whom God's love commits me here, ever this day be at my side, to light and to guard, to rule and to guide. Now imagine the face of the Virgin Mary. Blessed Mother, I believe that you are really here present. Jesus, I believe that you are right next to her. I can see both of your faces side by side. Jesus, help me to spend this time with your mother so that I can talk to her about very important things that weigh very heavily on my heart. So you imagine Jesus, now Jesus is the one with his arm on your shoulder. The Virgin Mary is looking at you face to face. You can imagine her voice. Come with me. We're going to talk about your problem in Cana. She leads you into a little clay house, clay room. It's very empty. It's dark. It's shadowy. There's light coming in from the outside. You also notice that there's a well outside, maybe about 100 yards away in the middle of the collection of little houses there, clay houses. Blessed Mother, I've got a burden on my heart. I've got a burden on my heart. My child, my spouse, my son, my husband, my father, wherever it is, you tell them about them, tell her about them. They're not doing God's will. They're not living his plan. I don't know what to do. Mary's going to be our guide in this meditation. Our Lady looks at you and she points to your right. And to your right, there are 6 stone water jars, very big, up to your shoulder. They're not going anywhere. They're very heavy. And they're empty and there's nobody else around. And you're telling Mary you want a miracle. And Mary says to you, you want a miracle? These jars have to be filled with water. and they're not going to fill themselves. You want Jesus to turn water into wine? You want Jesus to turn death into life? We need this thing filled to the brim with water so that he can make a miracle. And there's nobody here to fill the buckets but you. If you don't take that bucket there that's made out of wood, holds about 1 gallon, drop it at the bottom of that well 100 yards away, pull up that heavy water and bring it and fill up this jar 30 times. And the next 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 jar 30 times. There will be no miracle. Somebody has to make the sacrifice. Talk to Our Lady about your problem. Let her speak back to you. Blessed Mother, we love you. Walk with us every day. Always be with us. Always teach us. Be at our right hand so that when an opportunity to sacrifice comes along, we'll take it. And one sacrifice at a time, one bucket of water at a time, we will supply the necessary means for conversion. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou amongst women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Got two more meditations. Stay kneeling. We'll take a step back. We're going to ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, come upon me. Help me to imagine myself in this scene of the gospel so I can talk to Jesus. Guardian angel, pray for me. St. Michael, pray for me. Virgin Mary, be with me. Lord Jesus, I believe you are really here. Help me to see your face. Help me to visualize you on the way of the cross. Jesus' face is bloody. He barely has one eye open. He can barely walk. He's already dropped the cross. It's so heavy. You can see it dragging across the dirt so slowly. You're watching. And you're in sadness. That's pathetic. That's horrible. That's terrible what they're doing to him. And then a Roman soldier points at you. And this meditation will pretend to be Simeon. A Roman soldier points at you. Me? You. Carry that cross with the criminal. But I don't want to. Carry it. And as you begin to carry the cross with Christ, you see how he holds his cross. He's clinging to it. He's hugging it. He's rubbing his face on it. He's kissing it. Simeon didn't want his cross. But Simeon's cross and carrying it with Christ is the only reason we know who Simeon is. It's the greatest thing he ever did was carry that cross. Talk to Jesus face to face, bloody face to face, about the cross he has picked for you to carry. So that you can be a saint in heaven. And ask him for the strength to carry it. Go ahead and begin to make some resolution. Jesus, what do you want of me? What can I do practically to carry my cross more faithfully and not see it as my burden, but see it as my path to victory? And use your imagination. What does his voice sound like? What does he say? We adore you and we praise you, O Christ, because by your holy cross you have redeemed the world. We're going to do one more mental prayer. This is going to be more practical. If you'll please open your eyes. So when you're at home, you have to have something to meditate upon. You're going to do your introductory prayers, but many times you'll be like, I don't know what to think about. I need to talk to Jesus. So the goal is to talk to Jesus. The only point of the meditation is, where am I talking to him? So we're going to do our introductory prayer. Again, and I recommend that you either use one of the mysteries from the life of Christ, let Jesus decide when you're first doing your introductory prayer, or I find it fruitful to use some little nugget of the day's gospel so that you just kind of go through the whole Bible with him. But it doesn't become reading. The purpose of the reading is not just Lectio Divina. The purpose of the reading is so that you can then visualize it and learn the lesson that Jesus wants for you to gain. So we'll do this last one, and then we've got about 15 more minutes of talk to have. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Holy Spirit, help us to pray. We need you. We don't have perseverance. We're tired. Saint Michael, intercede for us that we can get through this. Guardian angel, intercede for us with the Holy Spirit and with the Virgin Mary. Our patron saints, pray for us. And then we visualize the presence of Mary. Virgin Mary, I believe that you are really here present. I believe that you love me. I believe that you're praying for me. I believe that you're the mediatrix of all grace, and you will give me the grace to do this well because you love me. Jesus Christ, I believe that you are really here present. You're in my soul. You want to teach me mental prayer, and I have to persevere. Help me to do this well. Where should I meet you, Lord? In today's gospel. So we're just going to read it so that we kind of have the facts of the story. I'll read it out loud, and you can read it to yourself quietly. After he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and lower your nets for a catch. Simon said in reply, Master, we have worked hard all night and caught nothing. But at your command, I will lower the nets. When they had done this, they caught a great number of fish and their nets were tearing. They signaled to their partners in the other boat to come to help them. They came and filled both boats so the boats were in danger of sinking. All right, I know the scenario. Let us reflect on that. We close our eyes. We imagine it's 6 p.m. on Friday night, and we've got to catch some fish. The sun is going down. You're in the boat with Peter and Andrew. And they're making you drop this net, and it's heavy. And it's 6 p.m., you're already tired. You've already had a long day of work. And you drop that net in, no fish. Again, you drop that net in, no fish. Again, you drop that net in, no fish, and it's only 6:15. 6:30 p.m., you drop that net in, no fish. 7 p.m., you drop that net in, no fish. 8 p.m., you drop that net in, no fish. 9 p.m., you drop that net in, no fish. 10 p.m., you drop that net in, no fish. 11 p.m., you drop that net in, no fish. 12 a.m., no fish. 1 a.m., no fish. 2 a.m., no fish. 3 a.m., you can barely stay awake, and still no fish. 4 a.m., no fish. 5 a.m., no fish. 6 a.m., no fish. 7 a.m., nothing. Just quit. You're coming back in, and you see Jesus preaching. You pull your boat in. Catch anything? No. I've been working hard. I've been working hard, Lord, all night long. And I feel like I'm getting nowhere. What a waste of my time. What a waste of my life. Does what I do even matter? And Jesus says to you, put your net in one more time. I did this all night. There's no fish in this sea. I promise you. Not a single one. But we'll do it. Puts the net in, pulls it out. Can't pull it out of the water. What the heck? Is this thing stuck? You get everybody, they're putting their back into it. They're about to rip the net. This is something in there so big. You pull in so many fish, you can't even stand in the boat anymore. They have to get another boat to fill it with fish. So we're reflecting because we got nothing. We're dry as a bone. We're looking at the gospel. Who, what, when, where, why, how does this relate to me? What was the difference between all night last night, all my efforts, I can relate my efforts, they're fruitless, all my efforts, and now everything's different. What was the difference? It was God's will. I did God's will. I did it in the name of Christ. Continue to reflect upon that. Look at Jesus face to face. Hear his voice. Let him teach you a lesson about this and let him give you insight into applying it to your practical life. And talk to him about whatever you want. But listen to him. Lord, help us to only act in your name. When you don't want us to act, help us not to act so that it will be fruitful. When you want us to act, help us to act so that everything will be grace-filled and we'll no longer catch fish, but we'll be fishers of men. And the graces that we obtain from cooperation with your holy will save many souls. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. All right, if you'll please take a seat. We've got a couple more important lessons. The point of mental prayer, yes, it is to familiar ourselves with Christ from the Gospels, but the most important point is encountering Christ. If at step one, when you get on your knees and you just say, come Holy Spirit, if at step one, the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you are overwhelmed with the sense of the presence of God, don't say, hold on, I've got to do step two. You know what I mean? It's like you found him. Congratulations. You don't have to worry. But it's a method. But it's a method to guide us when we need guidance. So we should do it. That should be our plan. But if the Lord is like, I know you got your own agenda today. You got your readings picked out. You got your meditations. But we need to have a talk. Go with it. That's not going to be every day. Go with it. All right, this is critically important. Mental prayer is not optional. It's also not going to happen unless you make it a priority. Very important. All the saints agree. Prayer in the morning, super important. Praying in the morning, why? because you have the presence of God throughout the day. You prepare your soul for the encounters of the day. Praying in the morning used to be a drag for me. Maybe I'm in a honeymoon phase. I love praying in the morning, and I love praying at night. You know why? I'm hanging out with the most beautiful woman that ever lived, the most lovely woman, the most gracious woman, the most kind woman. When you begin to have this intimate relationship with the Blessed Mother, you want to talk to her. You want to be like, hey, I need you. I can't survive. I can't have a good day at work without you with me. I don't pray as a burden. I pray because that helps me to have a good day. I've known from experience the days where I'm too tired and I don't do my prayers, that day's horrible. I might as well just get up, drag myself, get on my knees and do my prayers. Because when I don't, the day goes badly. And I'm angry and I'm grouchy and I'm grumpy and I'm not productive at work. In the soul of the apostolate, they say, pray and God will multiply your time. So many times throughout the day, we spin our wheels because we're not doing God's will. You just saw in that last reflection, when they did God's will, they had so many fish, you could fill up two boats. Had they only showed up for that 1 minute and did what he wanted at that moment, they would have saved a whole night worth of fishing. Same with us. We're doing and we're working on projects and we haven't said, Lord, what do you want? How do you want me to do it? That only happens if you pray in the morning. Minimum 15 minutes of mental prayer every single day. Let me rephrase that. Minimum, spend 15 minutes talking to the most important person in the entire universe about whatever it is that you want to talk about. God. 15 minutes with God. If one of your favorite bishops, one of your favorite saints, one of your favorite politicians was going to say, I want to know what you think. I want to help you. Do you have 15 minutes? 12 o'clock? Well, I normally eat lunch then, but I'll skip lunch for you. How much more God, who has more power than a politician? You've got to make a resolution. 15 minutes a day, no matter what. No matter what. I recommend in the morning and in the evening. All the great saints recommend in the morning and in the evening. If you don't have time throughout the day, if you get up early or stay up late, and you might say, I can't get up early. I'm so tired. Last night I woke up at 3 o'clock. When you make the resolution to go to bed early and get up 5:30 a.m., that's when the devil will enter your room and wake you up at 3:30 a.m. or 3 a.m. And he'll shake your bed and say, wake up. And then he won't let you go back to sleep until 5:29. And your alarm's supposed to be at 5:30. And you say, I can't do it. And then you never pray again. So what happens? Let's say the devil wakes you up at 3 a.m. You don't fall back asleep at 5:29. What do you do? I'm going to stay up. I don't care if it kills me. And then what happens? 8 p.m. comes the next night. You're so tired, you're going to go to bed early. It will course correct. Make a resolution. Be a warrior who wakes up when the bell rings. Soldiers in the army, when they ring the bell, they wake up. You're in an army. You're fighting for souls. More important than fighting for earthly life, as important as that is. Make a resolution. When you have dryness, there's two things. There's distraction. You can minimize those. Put your phone away. Do little things to make sure you don't get distracted. But aridity is going to come. God allows us to be tested. He hides his face from us. What do? Do it anyways. Go through the motions. Do it anyways. Say, I love you, even though you're not talking to me today. I don't know why you're not talking to me, but I love you anyways. And St. Teresa of Avila said, God resists no one who perseveres, and he will shower with you with love all the more for having persevered. He just wants to make sure that you love him for his own sake. Not because he's beautiful, not because he's sweet. Although he is beautiful and he is sweet and he wants to shower you with love, he just wants to make sure you really love him for him. Persevere. Now, this is where the devil entered in the modern era. When I'm reading Teresa of Avila, when I'm reading Alphonsus Liguori and St. Francis de Sales, they use the word mental prayer. Mental prayer is this, mental prayer is that. And the very next sentence, they use the word meditation. They were using mental prayer and meditation interchangeably. Modern man, when you hear the word meditation, at least me, I was thinking reflect. Meditate upon the Annunciation. Okay. I'm not like trying to visualize. I'm like, the angel visited Mary. Jesus was in her womb. Okay, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. So that's not what was meant by meditation. When you read the lives and the writings of the saints, when they say meditation, they mean what we just did. Put yourself, visualize Jesus, visualize Mary, have this encounter with them through your internal senses and talk to them face to face. Not just repeat the facts of the mystery or the facts of whatever the circumstance. So when Mary at Fatima says, spend 15 minutes meditating with me on the life of Christ, what does she mean? She means imagine that you're holding the baby Jesus in your arms and you're looking at him, and then you actually talk to him and let him talk back to you. That's what she meant. Because before, I thought she was like, you prayed the rosary, now think about the rosary. That's not what she means by meditation. She doesn't mean think about it. She means go there, live there, encounter that, let him speak back to you. Now, when you pray your rosary, this is important. Your rosary should not count as your 15 minutes of mental prayer. How do I know? Because at Fatima, she said on the first Saturdays, pray your rosary and then do 15 minutes of mental prayer. So she clarified for us what she meant. But I can use the methods of mental prayer, and I should use the methods of mental prayer to pray at least one good one a day. So for example, I'm doing the Annunciation of the Angel Gabriel to the Blessed Virgin Mary. I do my intro where I have a sense of the presence of God. I'm imagining the face of the Virgin Mary there with me. And then the first mystery, the Annunciation of the Angel Gabriel to the Blessed Virgin Mary. Okay, I'm going to imagine like I'm there right next to the Virgin Mary. I see a young man glowing, talking to the Virgin Mary. And then I ask for stuff. So the first step in mental prayer, presence of God. Second step, consider it. How long do I consider it? I don't got all day. I don't got 15 minutes per mystery, dude. Got to go to work. I understand. Just consider it until it makes even the slightest impression on you. When you're doing your regular mental prayer, you think about it a little longer till it really, you know, stabs you in the heart a little bit. But when you're doing your rosary, when it leaves a little bit of an impression, then you be sure and ask for something. Blessed Mother, just as you heard the voice of the angel Gabriel and you said yes, I'm begging you for the conversion of my cousin. Please help him hear the voice of God. Help him to say yes. Now my rosary's just changed. Got a lot more personal, a lot more insightful. And now also, you pause just half a second. Speak to me, Mother. What can I do? What do you want to say anything to me? And you imagining her there. She's like, yeah, I want you to hear the voice of the angel. I want you to say yes. And that changes my rosary. Now I got something to chew on. I'm like, dang, what does she mean by that? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Hail Mary, full of grace. Hail Mary, full of grace. It changes my rosary. It makes it more fruitful. So what did St. Alphonsus say? God rarely answers prayers of those who do not do mental prayer. Now I am incorporating mental prayer into the greatest prayer besides the holy sacrifice of the Mass. Very important. Next, all the saints say the best place to do mental prayer is before Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. You gotta come to the chapel so that when you go to the Blessed Sacrament and do your 15 minutes of mental prayer, and you go down there and you make an act of faith of Jesus, and you make an act of faith of the presence of the Holy Spirit, and then you say, Lord Jesus, Son of the living God, I believe you are there, and you see me, and I close my eyes, and I imagine the resurrected Jesus in front of me, and I talk to you. It's not my imagination. This is real, baby. He is there. That's the best, most fruitful place. He will touch your heart in ways that you would never have dreamed if you go and visit him. There's a big difference. There's a big difference between calling your girlfriend or your honey and saying, I love you, I miss you. And there's a big difference when you can go to them face to face and kiss them on the lips and give them a big old hug and give them a present. That's much better than saying, I love you. I like presents. The Lord will give you presents. We don't do it for the presents, but He will give them to you because He's a lover. And He loves to see those He loves. His heart burns out of love for you. He wants you to be happy. He wants the salvation of your family more than you do. He wants you to be a saint more than you do. But you got to show up. The agony in the garden. Couldn't you watch just 1 hour with me? Make a resolution to do a holy hour. But of course, all of you people are holy hour committed. That's why you had the grace to come here tonight. Also, before I go to Mass, exactly the same thing. I go to the Blessed Sacrament. It's on Sunday. It's so crowded. There's so many distractions. The little kid in the pew in front of me is running back and forth. And then Father in the bulletin said, suffer the little children, so I'm going to suffer this child. But it's hard to pray. So what do? You make an act of faith. You recollect yourself and you say, Lord, help me to focus. And you imagine the face of Jesus, and He sees that little child, and He's smiling at you, and you're just imagining up a storm. And then when Father lifts up that host, you're visualizing the crucifixion, because you're talking to Jesus about the Mass, and y'all are at the crucifixion, and you're seeing the angels come down, descend, and ascend back into heaven. And then you're imagining that Father's holding the face of Jesus, holding the resurrected Lord in His hands, and you're talking to Him as you're going up for Holy Communion, and then you got Him so close. It changes everything. It changes everything if we do mental prayer. Now, earlier, I told you about my goal, my desire, is to have a sense of the presence of Mary, to do her will. When you do your mental prayer, the first step is recollection. If I can imagine Mary present with me, before me, when I'm kneeling down in my bedroom or in the chapel, I can imagine her really present with me. Why can't I do that while I drive? Why can't I imagine her next to me while I cook dinner? I love Mary. I loved her before. I really like her now. I really like this woman. And I know it's because she's sweet and beautiful, but if you don't want me to love you for being sweet and beautiful, don't be so sweet and beautiful, Mama. So you keep her with you. You walk throughout the day, and you will know peace, and you will know joy like you could never imagine. I have some books in the back for you. So the books that I have for you, one of them is called The Catechism of Mental Prayer. If you are a very analytical mind and you need step one, step two, and you need to hear it from a perspective from somebody who's not me, I bought a heck ton of these booklets and I promised Diane that we would sell them to make sure we could pay the church back. So even if you're not that interested, but you got some money in your wallet to spend, please buy a book. It's $5. It's called The Catechism of Mental Prayer. It's very easy to read. It's very short. It's very systematic. I've been referencing a lot Teresa of Avila. She writes a lot and she talks a lot in her writings, and her books are super thick. In part, and they're hard. Even authors who study her will say, she's not that great of a writer. As great and as holy as a woman she was, her writing is not clear. And we are modern men and women, and our brains have been rattled by shorts and Instagram reels and Facebook and going like this, and ain't nobody got time for that. So I recommend a book called Conversation with Christ. It is by Peter Thomas Rohrbeck, and it's the teachings of Teresa of Avila about personal prayer. And I like it even more because only half the book is necessary to read. He gets to the point like in 50 pages. I love that kind of book. People say, read my book. I wrote a book. How long is it? 100. Sorry, if it's triple digits, you ain't getting anywhere with me. Maybe I'll audiobook it if you got a good voiceover. Conversation with Christ. This is pure gold. Because it's nothing but quote after quote after relevant quote coming from the doctor of prayer herself. Very powerful book. Now, if you're interested in living a life of union with Mary, the greatest author on that topic, besides Maximilian Kolbe and St. Louis de Montfort, the greatest modern author, his name is Father Emile Noubert. He was the favorite author of Maximilian Kolbe. And this little book called My Ideal, Jesus, Son of Mary, was one of St. Maximilian Kolbe's favorite books. In fact, it's one of the only books that he wrote an endorsement for. This is Maximilian Kolbe. He says, Father Noubert has published a book entitled My Ideal, Jesus, Son of Mary. The spirit that pervades this book is entirely the same as our spirit, speaking to those who follow his theology. I love it because it's short. It's written from the perspective of the Virgin Mary to you. And I'm going to share with you a short little passage from this book, and then we'll conclude our discussion on mental prayer. This is from the Virgin Mary to you, our good woman. Do you want success to crown all of your efforts?
Yes.
Let me repeat what I have already said so that you get to realize its importance. Always come to me. Submit your plans to me in order never to act except in my name. Every time you are about to make a resolution, ask me what I desire of you and tell me what you decide to do. I'm not going to answer you by a revelation. But if you come to me in all confidence and with sincere intention of executing what seems to be my will, you will ordinarily understand whether or not I approve of your resolves. If I seem to approve, confide them to me so that I may help you realize them. If I do not, pray and reflect. Then submit to me another but more precise resolution which I can approve. You will not consult me in this way for very long without perceiving that you advance more rapidly in a few days than you used to in several months, on condition that you really wait for my answer and do not allow your eagerness to carry you ahead too soon. If you faithfully turn to me for a moment before all of your actions, I will direct you in everything, and you will be successful in everything. There's a passage that says, do you want the promise of my omnipotent assistance? Do you want success, as she just says here? Do you want success to crown all your efforts? Only act in my name. Ask me what I want. She's not going to lead you astray. And the best way to do that is when you practice mental prayer. Mental prayer, for me personally, has opened my heart, opened my soul to graces that I would have never even conceived of. I thought I was already doing great. I realized I was starving. Last quote, St. Alphonsus. God is accustomed to comfort his beloved souls at the time of mental prayer and to give them some foretaste of the delights he prepares in heaven for those who love him. God will console your soul. He will answer prayers. He will enlighten your mind and strengthen your will. But you got to make a resolution. You got to make a resolution. You're going to do mental prayer every single day. More important than eating, more important than drinking is your mental prayer. Mental prayer is oxygen for your soul. Without mental prayer, you cannot overcome the devil. What did St. Teresa of Avila say? If you don't do mental prayer, you don't need demons. You cast yourself into hell. This is the most important thing you can do. Again, what is mental prayer? It's simply having a personal encounter with Christ, using my interior faculties, using my imagination. Let's conclude in prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You can kneel if you can kneel. If not, you can sit very reverently, or you can stand, whatever you prefer. Blessed Mother, you are our sweetness, our hope. We consecrate our prayer life to you. We cannot do it without your assistance. Grant us the graces to pray when we don't want to pray. Grant us the graces to wake up and get on our knees or sit up straight and offer our day to Jesus through you. Lord, we believe. Help our unbelief. Lord, we love you. Forgive us for not loving you more. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us of our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. A couple of notes before you go. I have one of the best PDFs on mental prayer, a summary of the whole night. I have my own book. I wrote my own book on mental prayer, and it's only one sweet page, three paragraphs. They're not even complete sentences. Don't leave without getting your free book that I wrote that's one page on mental prayer. On top of that, if you want to donate to my YouTube ministry, there's a QR code in the back. On top of that, there's prayer cards. Remember that picture of the Virgin Mary that I made? Some of you love it. Some of you hate it. If you hate it, haters gonna hate. Romans 9:8 or something to that effect. If you loved it, I printed out copies that you can have. There's also pictures of St. Therese, 8x10s. Her feast day is coming up. Also prayer cards of St. Therese that you can have for free. God bless you. God love you. And we'll see you soon. The PDFs will be on that back table.